It reminded me.
I'm going to do an interesting thing at the beginning of this meeting. I think this will go fairly quickly.
You're going to open it?
I'm going to open our... Yeah, that's the interesting part. We're going to open our meeting on rules. That's the first part. That'll be the first interesting part. The second interesting part is, I think we'll take care of this one motion first, so I'll give this to you to request.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move we request permission to draft an LC relating to Sine Die.
Representative Edwards moves that we request permission to draft an LC relating to Sine Die. Is there any discussion?
Good idea.
The sooner the better.
Is there any objection? So ordered. We will request that. Oh, there's an excellent. We actually have it now. So,
Mr. Chair, I move that LC 3860 dated 6509 be introduced as a committee bill.
Representative Edwards moves that LC 3860 dated 6509 be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Any discussion on the...
good bill, should pass. Sine Die resolution. We're just doing Sine Die here.
So no objection. No objections. So ordered. And now we'll... introduce. I will sign the... Now we're going to open a couple hearings in a row because there's certain people that have to get to and from different places. So we're going to open a public hearing on 3497 and also a public hearing on Senate Bill 344B. And I guess what I'll do is I'll take our senator first.
Can we assure... the Republican leader that he will not be sitting here for 2 hours.
No, he goes right after. Yeah, but we will assure him of that.
Thank you.
I will assure him.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, and I'm actually here to speak on Senate Bill 344, but only addressing the amendment. And I will just make my comments very brief. This amendment would actually waive the requirement that... Bob Skipper take the training that DSS, I always get that all wrong,
BSST.
But to take the BPSST training. He is well known with my family since 1970. My father was actually working for the high school, and he was a sheriff, and so worked a lot with him and all the troubled kids. He has extensive background in law enforcement, and he came into a situation in Multnomah County where there was incredible chaos and really needed some firm and consistent leadership. And he, unfortunately, had been away for 13 years and is now back. He was appointed and then he was elected. I truly feel it's a waste of taxpayers' money to have him go through the training. And I would hope that the committee would look very favorably on putting an amendment into Senate Bill 344 that would waive the requirement that he go through this training. And if with that, I will leave to go to another meeting, but I wanted to let you know that I wanted my testimony on the record. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
All right.
Representative Hanna.
Following up. Good afternoon, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Hanna, State Representative from House District 7. I am here this afternoon to make brief comments on what is now House Bill 3497 and to express my strong support for that bill. I very much appreciate you taking this opportunity to hear about this legislation, and I also appreciate the fact that every member of this committee has agreed to sign on as a co-sponsor to this bill. House Bill 3497 truly is bipartisan in that manner, and it is important to many Oregonians. As you know, earlier this session, we passed House Bill 3177, which, by the way, this is an exact replica of that bill, out of both committee and across the floor without any opposition. The bill went to the Senate, where it was referred to the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee and was scheduled for public hearing and work session. However, that did not happen. Representative Tim Freeman used a priority bill to reintroduce this proposal, and that is what you have before you here in House Bill 3497. Representative Freeman sends his regards. He had a medical appointment in Roseburg this afternoon. House Bill 3497 is, again, as simple as it once was. It allows for premium gasoline to be sold in a state without having to contain ethanol. As you know, this bill does not end the 10% ethanol mandate that was passed in the 2007 session. It simply extends the exception that was passed last year during the special session to allow gasoline dealers to offer premium gas that does not contain ethanol. I ask that you vote in favor of House Bill 3497 and send it to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. And thank you again for allowing me to testify this afternoon.
So, any questions for this witness? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3496 before I finish these other two, just because I think a few people have to leave, so we can take care of that one. So, open a work session on House Bill 3496. Short explanation.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. House Bill 3496. Make sure I'm doing this right.
First one. We have a little paperwork.
I got it.
We have all the appropriate paperwork.
Yes.
Okay.
On 3496.
Yep.
Okay. Excuse me. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, House Bill 3496 makes a specified health insurance coverage requirement exempt from an automatic six-year sunset provision. This bill will prevent the automatic sunset of the requirement for certain health insurance to cover non-prescription elemental enteral formula for treatment of severe intestinal malabsorption. When this matter was before you yesterday, you discussed provisions requiring automatic coverage that sunset in 2006. This would reinstate that language. It applies to highly specialized and expensive formulas, primarily for infants and children. Children in poverty are often not covered by programs such as Medicaid and WIC, while insurance available to middle-income families may not include such coverage. Good nutrition is critical to growth and development, according to testimony that you heard. We have no amendments with regard to this one.
Right.
And we have a zero fiscal and revenue impact.
Mr. Chair, one work session. I move House Bill 3496 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 3496 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Farrar?
Aye.
Representative Zelcher?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion passes. We'll have David Edwards Carey, that should do cover that one. And we'll close our work session on House Bill 3496. And now we'll go return to our hearing, and I hope work session on Senate Bill 344B. And with that, you can do a short explanation while I figure out my comments.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 344B requires a county surveyor to be appointed by the county governing body rather than elected, allows a county charter or ordinance to provide otherwise. The Dash 5 amendment, which you have, declares an emergency. It's effective upon passage. It makes provisions applicable to county surveyor vacancies on or after January 1, 2010. It deems an elected sheriff to be certified as a basic police officer if such person served at least 25 years as a police officer in the state, retired honorably from law enforcement, and received or was eligible to receive a Department of Public Safety Standards and Training retirement card. Held a valid DPS certification through executive level at retirement. Previously served at least 4 years as an elected sheriff. Is certified by a governing body of elected county as providing primarily executive, policymaking, managerial, and leadership services, and completes DPS career office police officer courses. It repeals provisions regarding elected sheriff on January 2, 2010.
And it really has two parts. There's the amended part and the other part. So we're going to have the testimony come that way as well. So Dan, is it Lynch?
Lynchide, sir.
Lynchide. Okay. Thank you very much. And Gary Johnston and Eric Gablix.
I'll do it next bill.
Sorry. Yep. Different bill?
With the Multnomah County group, I'll come up with that group. If that's okay.
Okay. I guess that would be fine. Yeah.
Chair Roblin, I'm Dan Lynchide, Yamhill County Surveyor from Sheridan. And I certainly wish all the luck to Sheriff Skipper in this effort, and I hope at least that part of this bill passes. I just had a couple of questions for you. I've been the elected county surveyor in Yamhill County for 15 years, three terms, and finishing up my fourth. And according to Section 8 of this bill, the amendment, Section 8, the very last emboldened, starting on line 25 of the B and Gross, it says the amendments of 204.005 by Section 1 of the 2009 Act apply to a vacancy on the county surveyor. My question is, sir, if my term expires, if I run for office again and my term expires December 31st, that's a Friday in 2010, and the next Monday morning I'm in circuit court holding up my hand, that would not be a vacancy, and I'm testifying under oath to uphold the Constitution of the State of Oregon. Am I wrong? Is there something? Is that the intent of this bill? I'm okay with it either way, whether it's elected or appointed, but I'm just curious about that.
I can find an answer to that question. But my understanding, as I had read the bill, is that it gives, if it's not in the county charter, because there is an exemption if it's in the county charter, and I don't know your county charter, but if in the charter it makes it an elective position, it stays that way. If it is not, then this would allow it to go to an appointed position. And my understanding is that as a term, when the term expired, as I read it, then it would move to being an appointed position. That's how I had read it. But we can get a legal opinion on that if you'd like.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, that's, and so then you might have been appointed to take it over the next day. I don't know the answer to that question.
And the other part of my question on this whole testimony had to do with, if it is appointed, and I do start January 4th or whatever it is of 2011 as an appointed, this will be, I believe, the only appointed position in at least our county government that is for a limited 4 years. All other appointees are, they're open-ended. So I'm just curious about that. It would be kind of a unique situation. I just don't quite understand. I wish Senator George was here because
I agree.
I testified with him on the other side in favor of this bill, too.
Yep.
So that's my concerns. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much for for coming and asking the questions. I will look into that as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Chair Roblin, committee members, my name is Gary Johnston. I'm the current chair of the board of directors of the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. The PLSO opposes the bill due to the requirement that the surveyor be appointed unless counties go through some extra steps to get this elected, whereas currently we have 23 counties in Oregon that elect their county surveyor. And without going through a lot of extra steps, we would feel it imposes the will of some in the legislature on the counties, and the counties are more in control and of a mind of what they how they want to select their county surveyor. So that was one of the key elements in opposition from many of our body. The other matter I would point out is I have been a licensed surveyor for over 30 years. I've seen lots of good surveyors appointed and elected, and I can certainly say that most of those I've worked with have been the elected parties and have had good selection, good support from them. And we would encourage your look at this and help us in defeating the bill, or at least extracting the surveyor from being a required appointed position. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for either of these people?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thanks. Now I got to get my list here again. We've already had Senator Morris Anderson, Ted Wheeler, Eric Godlitz, and Alan Blitz.
Thank you.
The last person, Mr. Chair, is not here, but okay. There was written testimony before.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. My name is Ted Wheeler. I'm Chairman of the Board of Multnomah County Commissioners. Representative Roblin, I'd like to thank you for expediting this issue on behalf of Multnomah County. And I particularly want to thank Representatives Nolan and Barker and Senators Monis Anderson and Monroe for their leadership. That's on behalf of all the taxpayers of the state of Oregon as well as the citizens of Multnomah County. I think everybody recognizes that this is a very unique situation, and it required teamwork to put together a thoughtful resolution to this matter. I especially want to thank the Department of Safety Standards and Training and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association for their professionalism and cooperation in finding a workable solution. I know that the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training is absolutely critical in ensuring that the highest safety standards are met in the training of public safety officers everywhere in the state of Oregon. And I've certainly seen that amongst sheriff deputies in Multnomah County who are entrusted with securing our jails and patrolling our roads and waterways. We believe that this amendment does not undermine public safety standards nor diminish those high standards in any way. Multnomah County has been and continues to be direct beneficiaries of the work the DPSST does in training public safety officers. As you're all aware, in June of 2008, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners appointed Sheriff Skipper as the interim sheriff upon the retirement of former Sheriff Bernie Giusto. In November of 2008, Sheriff Skipper was elected to fill the unexpired term of Sheriff Giusto. Under Sheriff Skipper's strong and capable management, the agency has experienced a marked improvement of morale, a return to the high level of professionalism that the citizens of Multnomah County have come to expect, and it's regained the respect and confidence of the public in terms of Multnomah County Sheriff's Office operations. We encourage all of you to adopt the Dash 5 amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. My name is Eric Skablix. I'm the Deputy Director for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, also known as DPSST. I think Chair Wheeler did a very good job outlining the issue in front of you. One of our primary missions is to ensure that all public safety professionals meet statewide standards. We set baseline qualification for all officers, regardless of duty assignment. As Chair Wheeler truly identified, this is an extraordinary circumstance. The needs of Multnomah County are very well defined. And probably the normal application of standards for police officers doesn't apply in a situation. As a result of our working relationship with the Sheriff's Association, Multnomah County leadership, and members of the legislature, what you have in front of you is a solution to the challenge that we're facing. The change being proposed is a solution which addresses a very unique situation. We're neutral on the bill only because our agency stance is that we don't support or oppose legislation, but I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Are there any questions for these witnesses?
Mr. Chair, not a question, but I would ask Mr. Gablitz to confer to Senator Minnis my appreciation for his being very quick and responsive.
Okay, I will.
other questions? I don't have anybody else on the list to come up. Did you want to ask? Are we okay? Okay. Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak to Senate Bill 344 and or the Dash 5 amendments to Senate Bill 344? Seeing none, we're going to close our public hearing on Senate Bill 344. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 344.
Can we do member fiscal there?
Okay.
On both of them. Okay. The Dash 5s.
Representative Nolan, would you like to introduce the Dash 5 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendments into Senate Bill 344.
Senate Representative Nolan moves the Dash 5 amendments into Senate Bill 344. I think it's P.
Okay. 344B.
Yep. Any discussion on the amendments? Any opposition or disagreement to the amendments? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Nolan, would you like to do that?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 344 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
344B as amended.
344B.
344B as amended.
As Representative Nolan moves Senate Bill 344B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Garrard?
Excuse.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roebling?
Aye. Motion passes.
I'll carry it.
Representative Nolan will carry.
Chair.
Thank you. We're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 344B, and we still have open the public hearing on House Bill 3497. Is there anyone else that would like to talk to that bill? Seeing none, we're going to close our public hearing on 3497. Did you guys agree on moving that other bill over?
I think there's been general agreement to move it over.
Okay. Let's take a brief recess. We have only one other bill. Our little recess. And we are going to carry over the work session and public hearing on House Bill 2749.
Actually, it was just a work session.
It was just a work session? Okay. Then just the work session on House Bill 2749. So we're carrying that over to Monday. That takes care of all of our business. So if there's nothing else...
Mr. Chair, Maya is very grateful to you, and you will be her hero forever.
There we go. I thought we could do this fairly quickly.
You
so with that,
to play at 5:30 for ballots.
So we're going to close our rules.
Make us pay later,
today.
Representative.
That's right. Thank you very much.
But it's got to be.